Hi, and welcome to the Making Our Way podcast. This week, you've got your February installment of Just Us. Thanks for listening.
Hey, guys. Good to see you this week.
What
hey,
it do, hey. Homie?
Dean, it's good to see you back in the social media realm.
Yeah, it was so funny. So I was laying in bed last night, and I said, you know what? At midnight, I'm going to post something. And so I just went to my phone.
I knew you. I saw that. Yeah. I was like, 5 hours ago. What? He must have been waiting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I was laying in bed waiting till midnight to post something. And I was like, wow, I don't know. This video, it didn't go exactly how I was hoping. I probably should have grinded a little more paint off. So I was butt welding two pieces of pipe. And I had beveled the edges. So like I had removed paint, but I had beveled edge, but I didn't take like the next inch off either. And right. As soon as it starts getting hot, the paint is melting off. And it was like, welcome back to Instagram. You know, a guy I know, he actually lives on the street one over, very accomplished car mechanic. And he writes, you should have removed the paint. You're going to have contaminants in there. Or like, there's a better way to do this. I'm like, welcome back to the internet, baby. Yeah. Just I've had a month of no one judging any of the half-ass shit I do. Welcome back to the internet.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
But, no, it's been good. I'll tell you. Okay, I was gonna do like a update. Like I had goals. I wanted to read 3 books. I wanted to exercise 10 days. I wanted to accomplish 3 projects and make a video out of one. And I wanted to design something in a CAD program or whatever to 3D print. And I accomplished none of those. So it really didn't make any sense to make the video, but I did find like, so I'm back on Instagram today and I found like I'm making dinner and I have my phone in my hand. And I was like, that was the difference. For a month, my phone just stayed in the living room because I wasn't looking at it for anything. I really wasn't looking at it for anything. I did cheat a few days because Instagram was still on my iPad. So if I was sitting there and I watched, 70 episodes of Community in a month. So I was still wasting 40 minutes a day watching those things. But overall, there were a lot of times where the biggest difference, projects that I normally would have put off, like, well, I'll have to get to that this weekend. And I would just scroll. I'd go, screw it. I got 20 minutes. Let me just get out there. And I was surprised at what I could get done in 30 minutes.
Sure.
So there were things this week. It's Thursday. This is what I've done this week. Finished removing the sheetrock from the hole I cut in my wall, moved a cabinet into it and put everything back in the cabinet, sand it, stained and 3 coats of clear coat on a table project that I'm redoing. Welded the bases for 2 of these chairs, like mounted bases on the chairs, and we're gonna talk about these later. But also welded the bases, moved a bunch of rocks outside, brought all the shit that was in this back room that I took out of this closet I needed space for, and I haven't talked about this on the podcast or anything yet. Moved it on, like I did, and that was all just this week, like just this week.
Yeah,
cooked dinner 2 nights. And it was a series of, it's 9:15, and I either could sit on my phone with a glass of whiskey till I was ready for bed, or I would just come back here and go, well, I can clean this part of the table. Oh, I made 10 coasters for a guy, laser engraved, sanded, laser engraved, and finished. I mean, like, all those 30 minutes really added up. Today, before this, I did get on a few times, but before this, I went hung 5 jerseys on the wall at 6 o'clock, took 35 minutes, hang those 5 jerseys. And that's 35 minutes that in December I was on my phone.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a lot of times I thought about what I was doing because of the way you had hopped off of, social. So it made an impact on me.
Yeah. I think I learned 50% of a lesson, but the goals, I didn't make any progress towards goals. So what I learned was the value of those 30 minute segments and that they're still valuable. Don't just throw them away, but I didn't make progress towards goals. So here's my setup, and I'm going to do some reels this weekend where I explain like my January and what I'm going to take from this. Is my plan for this year is I'm going to alternate months. Every odd month, I'm going to remove something that I think is distracting me. So this month, January was Instagram. March is going to be sodas. No sodas for the whole month.
Oh.
I drink a lot of soda. No soda for the whole month. So I'm going to remove something. On the even months, I'm going to add something. So it's February. I have a 5K at the end of the month that I want to be able to run the whole thing without stopping. So I'm going to add treadmill time, purposeful treadmill time that used to be that 30 minutes on the phone that, hey, even if I only get a half a mile in, just get on the treadmill every day. So that's my February. So the even months, I'm going to add something. a skill or practice. Maybe 1 month I've always wanted to learn to play the guitar. I never make any progress at it. So I may say, okay, April, you're just going to sit here and practice guitar 30 minutes a day and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's cool. Program to try out.
Yeah. So even months, add something, odd months, subtract something, and just see kind of how I go. Kind of the lint model, I guess.
I prefer the lentil model where you put sausage in there and you eat that.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually probably what I'm on. I'll tell you, the other thing was I had other reels that I was going to post, but I can't post anything that's like from the back side view of me because the back fat caught in my t-shirts is disgusting. That's not how I wanted to come back onto the internet, you know?
I don't think anyone's going to comment about that.
Full of side butt. You don't know what my DMs look like.
Yeah.
Oh, I comment every time.
Hey, look at this fat piece of shit. No. No, that's what Dean sends to me.
I was gonna say
that sounds more like
nobody says that to me. No, I don't want to hear that.
Well, let's talk about y'all some, and then it's just an us episode, so I can be a little more self-absorbed later on. Christy, what have you been up to?
I just got back a couple hours ago. I've been at the farm this week. It was a little bit of everything. We in a couple of years, we're going to be buying some land up at the farm. So I met with a surveyor. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. And especially on a farm, it is an interesting process. So my brother, who has already bought some of the land and will be buying the last bit of it as well. He took the surveyor and me on a tour of the quote unquote cornerstones that we know of in the property. And it's just very interesting that, you know, generations ago, when they like plotted out the sections and the whatever, how it ranges and all that kind of stuff, they literally set stones in the ground a certain way or you know, to where, because my sister was like, well, can't you just move them? And I'm like, no, they're like literally anchored or, you know, dug into the ground.
So how does that work? Is it just the way it looks, or is it a stone that's not native to that area? Like that something about the stone makes a difference?
Yeah, it's like literally like a pillar type.
So like an stone. Obelisk.
Yeah, not very tall. Not normally very tall. I know the one, Mom said the one in the east corner, the neighbor ran over with a bush hog. So it knocked off the top of that. But now, you know, that surveying process is very, you know, they have their equipment that connects up with the GPS and the satellites and all of the mapping and the networking and stuff. So that was, you know, an interesting process that I was a little bit of involved with.
May I interject real quick? Today I learned the Hoba meteorite is in Nambia, and it's on a farm. It's the largest meteorite to ever be found on Earth, but it didn't leave a crater. And so the way they found it, this farmer in Africa is plowing his field, and he hits it with the plow and destroy it, because they're all iron basically, and destroyed this plow. It weighed like 66 tons or something, but so many people have stolen parts of it as souvenirs. They stole like 2 or 3 tons of meteorite over the years until the guy ended up donating it to the country or whatever, and they made it a tourist attraction. But before that, people would just go and slice them off a chunk of meteorite. But you made me think of that when you were talking about the farmer hit it with the bush hog.
Yeah, that would be...
You know what else would be a cool project? As a maker, you could, whenever you buy your parcel, make your own cornerstones or whatever.
Oh, that's true.
And then in 100 years, somebody else will be seeing your cornerstones. I don't know.
Right.
Something to think about, your grandkids or whatever, great grandkids. I don't know how far that works. I think in the Midwest, the generations are closer together. So it might be great, great grandkids.
Well, you know, hey. But then I also my brother-in-law, I've been helping him with his bookkeeping. So I had 2 half days helping him get some stuff caught up. So it was a multifaceted trip. And then yesterday, the highlight for me, Mom and I worked together on getting all of her quilts out and inventorying them, because she has quilts from multiple generations ago. And we wanted to kind of get a handle on how many they were, how she wants to distribute them.
How many did she have?
There was about 40 that were like traditional quilted quilts. And then some of them were what we refer to as knotted quilts. So they're not like the little bitty stitches all around everything. They're more like yarn every 6 inches or so. there's a pattern of, and that's kind of the everyday quilt kind of thing back in the day. But some of them are just super, super old, you know, made out of.
Sounds like some Twisted Twine content, one quilt a day.
Yeah, it. We took pictures.
Quilt Monday. You could get a whole year out of that. Quilt Monday.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely could. I did a spreadsheet, you know, just to kind of organize them and everything as to who made them, how mom got them, or who, or, you know, mom might have made them too. So
I'm sorry. Y'all are getting a month's worth of not being on Instagram. So you could do a bracket. So then you do like, and now you've stretched it out over 2 years and you can have like people vote. So you do on Monday, you post one quilt. The next Monday, you post a different quilt. The following Monday, you do a vote on which quilt moves on in the bracket. And then at the end, you've got America's favorite quilt and you've got 2 years of Monday posts doing that.
That is a very good idea. I think, yeah.
I lack execution.
but yeah, that was, you know, I enjoyed it. It was nice, obviously, always nice for me to spend some time back home and everything. But yeah, that was my very quick trip back home. And then, like I said, I just made it home a couple hours ago. And now it's get back into my regular routine here at the house. My Lane, the youngest, Barbara's youngest, is coming over this weekend. We are going to, so it'll actually be the past weekend by the time this episode comes out. He wants to make a tray for his wife for Valentine's Day.
Ooh,
so he's romantic. Coming over this weekend and I'm going to help him make it. So that'll be kind of fun, you know, as far as you guys know, I enjoy working, making sentimental projects. And I think this will turn out. I just hope it's going to take longer, I'm sure, than he expects, just because everybody assumes projects take no time at all. Sip, 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 you know, and slap a little finish on it and boom, there you go. So, it'll probably take a little longer than he anticipates, but I'm looking forward to it. But
I don't know if Kristen follows the Making Our Way podcast. I can't post it on my account, but maybe we can post it on the podcast. We don't normally do Valentine's Day stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in any of these holidays that, you know, industry created just to suck more money out of men. But I ordered Kristen's Valentine's Day gift from England and it shipped on the 31st. And I want to do a poll if people think it'll be here by the 14th or not. I just checked in on today, February 1st. It said it left the UK. Langley, which I thought was in America, but I guess most of our cities are named after their cities. So I'll be interesting to see if it makes it here in time.
Yeah.
What about you, Austin?
So I bought a couple new tanker desks.
Where'd you get those from?
Some guy that he's actually an artist that does cast glass, and he like huge, like big cast glass sculptures, and then like he'll slice them and then put granite like in between and then polish it all. It's pretty cool stuff. It was on Facebook Marketplace, and
you told me about a 3D printer.
What's yeah?
All right, good.
So I saw it and I was like, man, and I think he wanted like $200 for both of them. And I was like, those are cool, but I don't want to pay $200 because I know there was going to be some work. And plus, I don't have a truck. And like that desk is gigantic, gigantic. And, but in his listing, he was like, possible delivery available, depending on where you are. And I messaged him. So that was last weekend. And then this week I saw that he lowered the price to $105. And I was like, hey man, I'll give you $150 if you deliver it. And he's like, where are you? And so I sent him, you know, my address and stuff. And he's like, hey, I'm actually going to be out there tomorrow. I got an appointment like right down the street from you. And he's like, I'll throw it all in my van. And I was like, sick. He's like, only thing is I'm not helping you carry it up any stairs. I'm like, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. And
that's good. Y'all ironed all that out before.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, he's like, I see that you're an artist. And I was like,
artist.
What are you looking at?
Well, we saw you wear black shirts every day. You just assumed you were artsy.
Right. I need a beret. he was like, he's like, I saw some of your pens in your machine, blah, 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 whatever. And he's like, if it's cool with you, I'd rather just, you know, trade you.
Swap. Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, hell yeah, whatever one you want, you just let me know and I'll have it ready for you tomorrow. And so he's like, cool. And so I don't even remember which ones he took.
Only did
I
ended up making
like 10.
Oh, okay.
Well, so I made a bunch and he ended up, he took a brass knurl, like one of my brass knurl pens. And then a thin blue line pen. So it was like $150 bucks.
Yeah, that's good.
But I told him, I was like, I had steampunks. I was like, I don't care. You can have whatever you want. Like, you know, you're hooking me up, I'll hook you up. Like, whatever. The price doesn't matter. And then, so it's funny because the top of the table is like our Making Our Way logo. Like the shape of it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
And this is, I had to have several people like, you just bought that table for your podcast, didn't you? And I was like, that's actually a really good idea. And so I was going to keep the top and it was going to be the new table for right here, you know, because I have a tanker desk right here and it is so big. I was like, I don't know if this is actually going to work because like it's so much deeper. Like it's like a foot and a half more than this desk, which this
back
desk
in the day already, when people actually had shit on their desk,
like real like paperwork, you know, and it looks like that kind of desk was like where people would there would be other chairs. So, because they can get their legs under to actually like work. So it was like, I think it was like a more of like a group kind of desk. And, which is weird is this desk has a metal top with like a wood laminate, like wood grain laminate. Mm-hmm. And that's how most of them are. Either have like a leather insert or like a vinyl insert. And this one is like all plywood or Formica or something. And then it had just like chrome trim. Which is weird because they're the same time frame.
It's like a Formica top with chrome teeth.
Right. Right. And then it has some kind of laminate on the top of that even. So, and by the time that it, like I got it out and I kind of cleaned it up because he's like, dude, this thing has been in storage for like 30 years. So I was like, okay. And by the time I cleaned it up, the top looks like crap, man. And somebody had like roll painted it like with a roller on top of laminate or whatever is underneath there. I don't know. And I was like, I don't think this is the top. Like, we're going to have to do something different. So I ended up taking it all apart and I'm going to just use the drawer sections on each side. And I'm just going to make a new walnut wood top.
Oh, nice.
And then, and that way I can also make it longer. So it fits the space here better.
Yeah.
And, I'm removing the center drawer, to give clearance so Arlo can have his bed.
You know, that's a maker problem. They try to get good deals on things. They'll buy anything that's a good deal. Oh, this tool is a good deal, or this table is a good deal. And then they force it into their ecosystem. And it's like, why would you force this table is not utilizing your space? You know,
right.
Get rid of the top, make a top that fits what you're trying to do. Now the dog has a spot. This is much more functional, relaxing, instead of fighting with this thing that really doesn't work, but it was a good deal or someone was giving it away or.
Right. Yeah, so I've been actually like kicking it around today and I'm like, I don't want to just do like a slab wood, you know, like just a 1-inch thick walnut, right? Like I want some kind of like the bottom. If you look at the legs, like when there's the legs and the drawer sections, they look like the Jetsons, like like it's cool. And I'm like, man, I wonder if I should do like an oval, like just a complete oval top.
Well, that's what like, I was wondering if you were weird, gonna do like our logo again or.
Well, I don't want to do that because that's not for how deep it would
have
to be.
More like a surfboard, like that kind of oval.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Oval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd like be a long oval.
I don't know. Or if I was going to do like a rectangle, I might do like a like. I don't know what I just bevel the edge, like a super bevel, like a long bevel. So it kind of looks, you know, like it weighs
Art
less
Deco.
Art Deco. Yeah. That's what.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm still kicking around the idea. So I painted it. It's actually the color, kind of your shirt color, Christy. Oh, and like I say, it's like a light sage.
And institutional green.
Satin.
Oh, sorry.
What's that?
Institutionalized green.
Institutionalized green, yeah. And what's funny, so I say when I sanded it, it's almost the original color underneath the white that he painted it is almost identical to the paint I bought.
That you picked, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that was, you probably were inspired by that time period because that green, those colors were huge at that time.
Yeah. And those are the colors I love. Like, that's the color I want my Walker Turner bandsaw. You know, I love that.
Three people that I know have recently painted a room green in their house. I don't
know what's going on.
Apparently, the internet I've been off of is all about the green rooms right now.
Yeah, downstairs, like in our, you know, the kitchen, dining area, living room, it's kind of a U shape. There's only like a partial wall between the kitchen and the living room. And
they look out over the big deck.
Yes, they do look out over the big deck, which is all windows. So there's not really a whole lot of painted over there. But like a couple walls of the kitchen are this green. And then a couple walls in the, like one of the living room walls is this green. But otherwise, it's like a tan. So it's, we got a lot of this green.
When I was a kid, I had I got a 1983 Ford Ranger as my first truck, and we were going to paint it. And so I went to the paint guy my dad knew, and I brought a Sprite can. And I was like, I want it to be this color green, the color of the Sprite can.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he said, okay, man, we're going to take care of you. And so I show up that we painted it at my grandfather's transmission shop. I show up that night, start painting, and the paint is like a really dark green with silver fleck. And I was like, this isn't the color. He's like, yeah, you're a dumb kid. I'm not painting a truck that color.
Oh, this color.
I was like, that's okay. Whatever. He was right. It looked good in the end, but I wanted that Sprite can green.
I was torn about what color to paint the thing. Cause like, this one is kind of like a more pistachio green kind of color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like that a lot, but I was like, they're going to be right next to each other. It'd look weird. I don't want them to, I don't want them so close. Well, I'm not going to be able to get it. Like, I'm not going to be able to get the color because it's from the 70s or whatever, 50s or whatever. And I was like, I'd rather be. Right. Because I'm rattle canning it. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'd rather be way different than sort of close and not matchy.
Yeah.
Right,
and then,
right.
So it came with a file cabinet, which, by the way, is the absolute most bomb proof. Like, that thing is,
it almost
weighed as much as a desk.
Yeah.
It's so crazy how thick the steel is on that. I'm like, what what kind of files are weigh this much that they need this kind of crazy reinforcement? But I didn't like the way that it had the, you know how like a file cabinet has where you can put the piece of paper in there and it like
the
you
know, to name thing? It or
a tag. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because I'm gonna use it to put my this bamboo is gonna go over the edge right here where and that's where the file cabinet is going to sit. And so I was like, I want this to look just like a metal tool cabinet or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I started just grinding off because that those old tags like that, they're rivets. They're like built-in rivets. So it's like a cast aluminum. They would push it through and then they'd come on the back and then punch it and it would rivet out mushroom the back of it out. And so I'm in there grinding and my dad walks in and I'm like punching those things out. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, I'm dismantling this thing like completely. He's like, I thought we were just going to put it like quick coat of paint, get it in there. I was like, I changed my mind. And I was like, I don't like this. I'm like, I'm shaving all this. I'm filling the holes. He's like, all right, I'm out of here. You're on your own. so he left me. But what's that?
He had fruit sugars to go make.
Hey man, he's crushing it with those fruit sugars. So I TIG welded all the holes closed, ground them down, did a little bit of Bondo because I'm not a sheet metal guy. And it's all in primer and paint. Looks killer. Looks really good.
Cool. Good for you.
Yeah, that was my first. You know, so you guys, we talked about like doing sheet metal work was like one of the things I was supposed to do. Check. Check it off the list.
There you go. Mission accomplished. We'd like to thank the folks over at Patreon for helping us with support to the podcast. It is patreon.com/makingourway. We've got on our top tier, we've got Marion Ward from Creative Ward Gallery, Scott Oram from Daddy Yourself, Ozark Spirit, Chris Shelby, Nick Birchtold, and Andrew Richard Makes.
Some other things I've been doing, you know, in exile, I bought a second sewing machine. And they had a President's Day sale. So I said, F it, got it. And then I'm like, where am I going to put it?
So the sewing machines you got are, they're kind of a complement to each other, right? Like they can sort of do the same thing, but
so it's the two Weaver machines.
Okay.
The 205 is a heavier duty machine and it's a post arm or a cylinder arm. And so
can you explain? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Instead flatbed, it's got a, like a post that comes out at a 90 degree. So you can put like a bag and sew all around it. There's no table at all.
Okay.
It's much heavier than what I thought it was going to be. So I needed to get like a Cobra Class 26, and instead it's a Class 4 machine. This is, and so it's just real heavy duty. So I'm sewing like thick leather together, and it's working great. But I wanted to do like a wallet, or I bought some air tags. We had some guys at work get their laptop stolen. I'm like, I'm putting an air tag in my bag. And this is too heavy for that. But my Singer's too small for it. So I got the 303, I think it's called. And that's a flatbed machine that's in the middle. So it can do wallets and thinner stuff.
Would they have like sewn like cowboy boot soles together with that kind of machine? Like, because they have like that thick.
Yeah, you could. I think it probably more like sew the boot leg together, because boot soles have a certain machine that you need for that. I actually think, I feel like Keith had an inside line on one of those recently.
I did.
Okay.
Landis. It's a boot stitcher that goes like a giant.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that's how this thing kind of is. I mean,
that's what I was curious.
It's so strong that I was sewing some thinner, like just some shoulder material together, and it was pulling the bobbin thread through. And that's why I was laughing. Like Griff told me to adjust the tension. I'm like, there is no more tension to adjust. Like this thing is just that robust. It's pulling the thread back through. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. The whole point of that was I needed to find a place to put it. And if you've seen like video, I know neither one of y'all been here, but two people are uncomfortable in here. There's walkways for one person, and it's not a clutter thing as far as like mess. It's just, I've got a lot of stuff and it's all in this space. So what I identified was I had a cabinet right here that was kind of blocked to the side of my computer. And it kind of blocked my view of the TV. It blocked this light. Like I always had turned these lights on because that light was blocked. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to move this cabinet, pull my table that the bamboo is on up against here. I can see over the bamboo to watch the TV. The light can get through. I just need to find somewhere to put this cabinet. And I kept looking. The back of my shop, the whole wall has two storage closets, and I have a TV between them. One closet is where I have like our luggage, but then like cutting boards or projects that I make that we call the gift closet. Things right. I make that I have a bunch of, I stack in there. That's where like LED lights and all that kind of stuff is in there. The other closet was just storage for things that had nothing to do with my workshop, including four of those like 35 or 40 gallon Rubbermaid totes of softball t-shirts from when Kristen was a teenager. Totes full of t-shirts for her. Keepsakes, pictures, poster frames, those sports jerseys, a weird camera thing that somebody gave me to make into a bar, keyboards, gifts that people had given us that we didn't want, so we stuck back here to re-gift later on, and two car seats, the seats out of my Porsche. So I redid the interior of my car, the original white leather seats I have in there because I tried to sell them. I couldn't because they're white, not black. And they were too nice to get rid of, so they've just been in there. And I said, you know what? I'm going to turn those seats into my computer desk and my sewing machine station chairs. And so I go, okay, well, how am I going to do this? And I was like, I could make a base for them, but the shop's a mess because I've emptied all that shit out. So I emptied all that stuff out. I removed the sheetrock, so there's no more closet now. Now there's a recess there. Put that cabinet in the recess. And it actually gave me spot to move my air compressor to, and it's going to work out great. Like this is going to be a good net positive for the shop for sure. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of in a mess and I couldn't really cut and weld a bunch of metal and all this other stuff. So it's like, I'm going to buy two shop stools, like wheeled stools, and adopt those, get rid of like the little circular seat and make a base to put my car seats on. So I ordered four different shop seats, and they all came in. And I swear I read all the like heights and everything like that. They're all way too tall. Like I was sitting in the car seat and it was like I was 3 feet off the ground. Like my knees were hitting on top of the table, my computer desk. So like I've got to find a way to drop some meat. So I returned the three other ones, ordered a second one of the one that I thought was going to work the best, the lowest, took the wheels off. That gave me 2 inches down, but I still needed to find an inch and a half somewhere to get this lowered. And I was looking at it and looking at it, looking at it. And the way these work is they have the gas cylinder to where you can adjust it up and down. Mm-hmm. It slides into a tapered metal tube and it bottoms out in that taper. And that's how it seats. And then that's where it establishes the height. Well, there's still 3 inches of clearance between the bottom of that tube and the floor, even without the wheels on it. And I said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut that tube when the diameter is still wide enough to not matter, weld a spacer on there, and then weld the bottom back on. And then I'll have basically lowered my tube an inch and a half.
Yeah.
And that'll lower the whole seat. And so I started looking online for a tube that was weldable, was over 2 1/4 inches internal diameter, but not some crazy thickness that I could, you know, make this adapter out of. And I found a few things. They were, you know, $30, $40 for a whole pipe. I need 3 inches, not a whole pipe. And so I'm thinking about it. And I see, you know, I've got some square tubing on the side, or maybe I can just take some angles and just do like, you know, 4 angle iron pieces or something. And I'm walking around back there. And when we got this fence redone, there was a cyclone fence in the back that we cut out and removed. And lo and behold, we have pavers. There was a 2.5 inch posts, cyclone, you know, metal fence post,
right,
that we had cut off at the paver level. And I moved the pavers, dug around it, and went 3 inches down, cut that off, soaked it in vinegar to help with the galvanize, and then grinded it the rest. And then I have a vapor mask for welding, but I felt like I got it clean enough, but cut it flush and welded those on, and it worked perfect. So I did it on both bases, and that dropped the seat low enough now to where I'm sitting. This is the normal height for the computer. The other one's a little tall, but the sewing machines, I took the wheels off the chairs and I put the wheels on the sewing machines. So they actually raised up 1.5 inches. So the higher chair kind of helps.
Now, when you took off the rollers, did you put a little
felt pads?
Okay. That's
so I have some of those adhesive. I bought like a big box of the round and the square felt. Because I use them all the time for stuff. Because everything back here, I need to be able to move. So if it's flat on the bottom, I put those felt feet on. And so I just put felt feet on it. And they're working fine for now. But yeah, that's what I did. And so I put the rollers on. That one sewing machine weighs 500 pounds. And so if I'm
moving
it across the floor, it's a bitch. So I put the wheels on it. So now I can wheel it out when I need it and wheel it up against the wall when I'm not using that one. And It was a fun project. I had to enlarge all the holes on the sewing machine to make those bases bigger to get the wheels through and then finish this. The other thing that was interesting, I was so proud of myself. I got one seat. I go, okay, I'm going to make a plywood template and then I'll do a metal version of the bracket. So I'm going to mount the original workshop's, you know, plate to the seat somehow so that it attaches to this cylinder. But I need to know like where the mounting points are and all that. So I'm going to make a plywood template. So I got a piece of plywood and I make the first template. And then I go, you know, before I drill these holes, maybe I should clamp the two together and then I'll have a template for each chair. And I was like, no, don't do that, because if you mess up, you always have the second one that you can come back with and not waste a whole bunch of plywood. So I do the first chair and I get it to work. And then I go grab the second chair and flip it over and they mount it differently. The driver seat was power adjusted. So the rails mounted to the motors that adjusted the seat. So it had 8 little bitty mounts with a 1/2 inch hole in the middle that I had to account for, because that was kind of like how they attached the motors. I couldn't figure out how to remove the motors, so I left them and attached my bracket to those same motor mounting points. The other one just had sliding rails that attached in the 4 corners with a different size bolt. So if I would have drilled all those holes, I would have all these holes that didn't matter. And so, but yeah, it was a fun project, because I've had these chairs in there for 6 years. Like, that closet was completely useless because it was just full of shit. So everything is stacked up in the house. I actually got yelled at tonight because I overwhelmed her. And I'm like, I didn't give you any direction. I just said, this is not shop related. It's getting out of the shop. It's up to you to realize that you didn't need this fucking shirt that you've been holding on to for 30 years and you've never done anything with. That's your decision. I just know it doesn't belong in my shop. So,
well, if she wants those, if she wants some of those made into a quilt, let me know.
She's going through a sorting process right now. First, she sorted them by chronologically, and then she's going by which ones matter. And then she'll look at colors that match and figure out, you know, she's getting 15 or 20 blankets, whatever she's, you know, she's going to do a new Instagram account. It's going to be called T-shirt blanket of the day. She's going to do a bracket thing where people vote on which t-shirt blankets they like the best. And it's going to be a whole thing. I think she'll have Paw Paw Ridge type numbers by the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, I stopped by Springfield Leather on my way home today, and I just kept telling, my mantra in my head was, Christy, you're not at Dean's workshop. You do not have a quality leather sewing machine. Stop buying.
You know, Jimmy DiResta made those tab bags that you were a big fan of. My mom liked.
Oh, I am.
Definitely not my style. But he was, you know, trying to utilize his laser, and there was some thoughts behind it. But then I'm flipping through Instagram, and he's got a video with this old house where they hand stitched a leather tote bag, and it's like, that's exactly what I want to make. And he hand stitched it. And honestly, with the sewing machine, you need seams. They butt jointed the leather and then did like a corset stitch down the sides. It was a good looking bag.
Yeah. I've been doing so much hand stitching on leather. My left hand is still sore, and I'm like, okay, I've got to like lay off of that for a little bit before I keep going at it because
it's what's still fun sore. On these is they have speed reducers, so I can fully depress the pedal and it's still just going to go dun 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 dun, dun 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 or however fast you want to set it. Whereas when I was sewing all those bags on the Singer, you'd have to like put like half pressure, but every now and then you'd get a cramp or you'd go to move. And it would go from, I didn't want to, but the problem with that was anytime you started doing folds, so you're doing box ends of bags or you're going over zipper seams, it's a great machine. I think everybody should have one. But when it came to stuff like that, it's just not what it was made for. I never broke a needle or anything. I just had a lot of times where I'd have to undo all the stitching and do it again, undo all the stitching, do it again until it finally fed through correctly and didn't shred the bobbin thread or whatever.
When you're stitching with your machines that you got on leather, does it mar the surface at all?
So it depends on the type of foot you have. This one, the big machine has a presser foot, and it does leave a trail, but it's not scratches, so it's a smooth bottom foot. The smaller one I haven't even put together yet because I've got a hole in the wall, so there's sheetrock everywhere. I've got a table I'm refinishing. So I need space that I can walk around a table that has wet stain on it or wet varnish on it. And I'm actually using the box for storage right now to like sort things out. But I made a ton of progress this week. That was the other thing. I would just come home, we'd eat dinner, and then about 7:30 or 8, I'd come back here and just fix a drink, put on some music and say, okay, I'm going to do these 3 feet tonight. And I'm going to just get these 3 feet right. Yeah. And I've already cleaned. My shop's kind of two spaces. This space is 95%. The work table's clear. The sewing machine table's clear. The table's done. The only thing that's left is this spot right here because I think I'm going to get rid of this filing cabinet. It was a project I made a few years ago. I wanted to make a project with pieces from all my previous projects. So I made this filing cabinet.
Oh, yeah.
Each piece is scrap from a previous project. And then Nike was doing these things where it's Off-White is the brand, but they would write like shoelace, check, stitches. So I wrote like what project and year on all the pieces of wood. So if you're like, oh, none of it matches at all, it's hodgepodge together. And it's served its time, but I'm going to get rid of it because I feel a little claustrophobic back here. I want a little more room by my computer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So y'all got anything y'all want to talk about? Projects you've been working on or?
I mean, I've been working on all that kind of stuff. And I've been approaching a bunch of new sponsors this week since I'm a company shill, according to a listener. don't wave me off, Christy. I'm about to go off on this motherfucker.
I was not waving you off. That's not what I was saying. I was just
I kind of want to talk about this because
I was more like,
look, everybody has their right to an opinion and everybody has their right to speak up if they don't agree with something. That's all fine. Sure. I think after 148 episodes, we've established we're normal people just trying to make it. You know,
right.
Big Daddy Wallbucks is not back here shoving $100 bills in my pants to talk up for anything. If a company reaches out to a small maker, and honestly, you have 100,000 followers, you're a small maker.
No doubt.
And wants to reach out to you and be a part of your journey, shouldn't we applaud that? And if we have questions, speak up but to go and fucking give us a 0-star rating just because you got your feelings hurt, it's whatever. I really don't care. I tell you what, if anybody else wants their feelings hurt, just drop a line in the Instagram and I'll tell you what I think about you. And we can just get everybody's feelings hurt all at the same time.
I think the big problem is I went on to Makeshift Podcast immediately after reading that. And I'm sure that person listens to that podcast as well. And I'm sure he got an earful right at the beginning of the podcast.
What was funny in our accounting coaching group, the ladies were talking, because they're not overly into social media.
Right.
And they were talking about like a Facebook group and how harsh the comments are in there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, girls, you guys have no idea. You guys have no idea what the deep wells of the internet is.
Yesterday, I'll tell you three of my comments yesterday. One of them just said loser. One of them said, you should be lynched.
Oh.
And then one of them said, this one wasn't as bad, but it was like, I've never seen somebody that's as much of a clown as you, or something like it was a little bit more chopped up than that.
That still just blows my mind. That just blows my mind.
I always love that Cat Williams skit where he talks about, you know, be thankful for your haters, because that's how you know you're doing something. Because if you weren't doing shit, nobody would care. Nobody would say anything.
Right. But
if you're attracting people who are hating on what you're doing, then you're doing something right.
But in the
end, again, I don't care. I do a lot of shit people don't like. That's fine. It's not yours. This one's not for you. Maybe the next one will be.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be, I don't know. I thought that was kind of petty. Say something back. I mean, he said his piece, but then to go and do that, it's like, we work hard on this, and because you got your feelings hurt, you go, I don't know. It's kind of weird to me.
Yeah. That was
bitch move. But
somebody who interacts with us, messages us, we respond to, and then to do something. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And I don't know how much we want to talk about it, but what bothered me the most is like, he goes, instead of, you got a problem with me, come and talk to me. I'm here. I answer every one of my DMs, unless it's hidden or I don't see it, you know, but I answered every one of his DMs that he's ever sent me. So, or she, we're keeping it anonymous here. And don't post it on the guests. It's the guest was the problem. Post,
and actually,
man.
Let's talk about that. Come that on. Was the thing. So we
come on.
To post a negative comment on our post that celebrates our guests. You know, that's our whole thing. We're trying to highlight. Right. We spend a lot of time trying to find interesting people to bring to this audience. And we highlighted a very unique and interesting person who honestly could have been a little more sensitive to that and had went out of their way to bring their audience in. So their fans are reading it. And it's obvious from the comments that they've reached out to their audience and their fans are reading it. And then you say something about something Austin did on an Austin Instagram post.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, not even something that, and I think maybe we talked about the product briefly, a little in the podcast, but briefly. And we were talking about it. Go post it on the Instagram post that's on. That was weird to me too.
But there's literally 2,000 comments over there that they're ready to argue with you. So go over there.
Well, and not to mention, I mean, whenever I post the social media each week, I don't even put like, oh, and Dean and Christy and Austin talked about, if we've got a guest on, post is solely about the guest. It's not, oh, and we also talked about Dean's whatever or Austin's whatever, you know, we want to highlight the guest. It is all about the guest for us. I mean, we like to yakety yak. So we put Q1 and Q3 on there just because we like to talk to each other.
Yeah. And he can yakety yak. Don't come back. Or she.
Yeah. Allegedly. Put that in there too. Just in case.
Potentially. For all we know, Overall MakerWorks is leaving the podcast on in the shop for his dogs, and they're over there pawing zero stars. Turn this torture off. What is this, Guantanamo?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're actually at about 45 minutes. Anything else y'all want to talk about? I mean, I feel like we're making a pretty good clip. I know we've got some things already lined up.
Something lighthearted would be fun.
Yeah. And for Patreon, I know we got some things lined up for Patreon. We are going to have a I think I mentioned it. I haven't talked to these two about it fully, but I think we're going to do another Patreon highlight episode just to let people know, you know, we are putting out additional content. You're missing 33% additional content or 25% of the total content a week with the extra Patreon segment. So if you like the us stuff, that's what Patreon is. It's more like what tonight's episode's been, is very Patreon sounding. So, you know, check it out. I think, what are we, $1 or $2? What's our cheapest?
$3 a month, I think.
Yeah, less than $1 a week. Come on.
And usually our Patreon
at the grocery store.
Yeah. Our Patreon conversations typically are, I've got a topic, but I'm not going to tell you until we start recording so that we can see each other's reaction or something. Right. So
yeah, we get the raw.
It's
deal.
Not a planned conversation and typically no edit.
Right? All right. I got one for y'all. That's not Patreon. We'll just end on this. I'm going tomorrow. So the podcast, this episode will already be out. I'm going to tomorrow to buy that Land Cruiser.
Oh, good.
What?
Yeah. So I talked to you on Saturday night and was like boo-hooing and poo-pooing everything about it. And I watched a bunch of videos and they got me with the propaganda of the guy putting his lab in the back of his, you know, 70s Land Cruiser. And so I started reading some more and I was like, I think we need to go look at it again. And so I messaged the guy and I said, hey, if you're available, I'd like to come look at the car again on Sunday. And he said, yeah, man, anytime. I said, well, let's do 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, you know, after I've kind of had my day. And so we drove back up there on Sunday. And this time I made Kristen ride in the front. So last time the guy and I were in the front, Kristen was in the jump seats in the back and she did not enjoy it. And so this time I was like, hey, we want to ride in the front. The other thing was last time he took us to a development neighborhood. He was like, so you can kind of roll around. Well, there were people working everywhere. So the whole time I'm like shifting back into first or having a reverse. I just couldn't really drive the car. And so I'm like, I want to go on a road where I'm going 45 miles an hour. I want to be able to hit the brakes, make a U-turn and just drive and see the experience, not, oh, does this thing shift in and out of gear? And so we went a different way down the main drag. And it was like, Kristen said she thinks he paid actors to follow us. All these classic cars are driving by, giving us the thumbs up, honking at us. Cool Jeep, bro. It's all that stuff.
And
and she's in the front seat with, because it was a Sunday after. It had been raining all week. It rained every day.
Yeah. Everybody's got the toys out.
And it was the first sunny day. Everybody's got the toys out. An old Bronco on the side of us vibing. And Kristen's in the front seat now, not being jostled around in the back. And so we got back to the guy's house. I got under the car with a flashlight, looked at all the mechanical, got a magnet, checked, because Kristen was worried about Bondo because it was painted, so got a magnet, went around the whole car, checking, you know, is the metal good, looking for rust. And I told him, I said, okay, it's still a lot of money. I don't know. We're going to talk about it on the ride home, but I'll tell you yes or no tonight. And we didn't make it to the end of his subdivision. And Kristen goes, you're buying that, right? And I was like, what did you think? She was like, oh, it's awesome.
Oh, nice.
It's like, good. Wow, how things change. Yeah. I said, well,
you know what it is. She sold her Jeep. Then now she's got the little car. She's like, we need another Jeep. Like,
So I was like, well, if the Bank of Kristen's doing finance terms, we can talk about it. We're going. I just texted him. Like, I offered like $2,000 under his asking. I said, this is not a negotiation. This is what I think it's worth. If you're good with this, I can bring a check next Friday. And I wanted to wait until Friday because, I don't know that it can go more than 55 and I'm gonna have to drive down the interstate to come home. And I don't want to, I don't want to be rush hour and people are trying to kill me cause I'm driving 55 instead of 70. So, I said, if you'll take this amount, I can bring you a check next Friday. And he said, I'll have all the spare parts loaded up in the back. See you Friday. I said, all right.
Nice.
Sounds good, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. That'd be fun, man.
Yeah. It should be a good post. I'm thinking about posting and being like, if you forgot why you followed me, it was because of things like this. I live the life you all wish you could live. Jesus. I was like, man, that's kind of dickish.
It's perfect.
Middle tier of our Patreon, we've got Tony Langer from Langerworks, Susan DePlantis from Hearth and Garden Art, Stephanie Taddeo, Kyle with Footwork Woodworking, Dwayne McDowell, and Eric from Overall Makerworks.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, please give us a review and subscribe. We'd love to hear from you, so reach out to us on Instagram at Making Our Way Podcast or on Patreon. You can find all of our latest individual content on Instagram or YouTube. I'm at High Caliber Craftsman. Dean is at Dean_DePlantis. And Christy is at Twisted Twine Woodworking. Lick it, stick it, see you later, bye.
First tier Patreon, we've got Jacob from Griffin Makes, Jacob from Other Dog Design, Keith Drennan from Blackthorn Concepts, Justin from Bear Maked, Jeff Stein, a weird guy, Dave Bauer, Caitlin Landreneau, Morley Kurt, Greg from Platte Valley Woodworks, Brendan McDonough from McDonough Design, The Grant Alexander, Jan Griffin, the Black Sheep, Brian from Moonshine Leatherworks, The Makeshift Podcast, Maritime Knife Supply, Henry at HT1 Metalworks, Brad Harrison from Brad's Customs, Steve Delaney from One Old School Pirate, Kelsey Watson, Dan Gallagher, Goofballs by Dan, Chris Powell, Full Steam Design, Spaghetti and Waffles, Rebecca Johansson, Ira Housewort, Eric from Overall Makerworks, Ed Johns from ButtJoints.com, David Beckwith, Rob DeMarco, Dave from Atomic Airship Works, Earl III, XYZ, Dana and Emmett at Rescue Room on Summit, Max at Camp Arrowhead, and Luke at LJB Makes. Thanks a bunch, folks.